Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated.
I know that you teachers and pastors say there's no such thing as a bad question, but this is a bad question. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It was, of course, a teaching moment. It quickly turned into a catechism recitation on the two tables of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. The catechumen had done well, but not well enough. Jesus, the teacher, the pastor, knew that his catechumen would have to be cracked open. He knew that a theoretical love of the neighbor could only be tested in real life. And so he told the story of the half-dead Jew and the merciful Samaritan. The story is not really theoretical. Its point is real and it is personal. Love and compassion to the neighbor must be worked out in our life and actions. Jesus uncovers the heart of the problem with our love. It's in the heart, my heart. In the heart, you must love your neighbor, from your heart, with your whole person, as yourself. That is to say, you shall care about him and his situation. You shall desire his welfare and well-being. Your love shall not merely be an emotion of the moment, but a deep desire and a conviction, an unshakable commitment to do whatever you can on your part for your neighbor. Your love shall burst forth in actions, not in gratifying the wishes or desires of the other, not as an act of arrogant condescension, but with words and deeds that flow from a deep and sympathetic perception of what the other person truly needs. Your love shall bear rich and abundant fruit, heedless of the cost to yourself. It is the neighbor in your house and your workplace and your neighborhood and in your church. It is the sinner that you must love, in particular the one who has sinned against you and ruined your happiness. You must not remove that person or wish that person out of your life, because that person is God's gift to you, one of his most precious gifts. If that neighbor were not there, you would have no holy cross to bear. You would have no one to love with the sacrifice of self. You would have no one to forgive. That neighbor who vexes you deeply every day, this person is the daily gift of God. He has been given to you that you might forgive him daily, that you might give to him that deep love and compassion which God in Christ has given you in the gospel. If you did not have him to forgive, it is very likely that you would forget your own forgiveness and begin to think that you are already without sin in the world, and you would begin to ask, "And who is my neighbor?" thinking to justify yourself. It is, of course, our utter failure to keep this commandment, to have this affection and love, to show mercy that reveals the fatal disease of sin and death in our own hearts. We sinners are proud, cold, and unloving people. As long as we do not see that we ourselves are dead before God, that we are beaten up and left half dead on the road of life, we shall never have compassion and mercy for our many neighbors in this world. As long as we hold to an unrepenting disregard for those around us, we shall never see or hear the kindness and mercy of God. This commandment leaves us in sin and death and hell. which is where the gospel must find us. We may as well cast off the mask of being church people, of being religious, of being above the sinners around us, like the priest and the Levite in the story. We might as well stop pretending that our hearts and minds are healthy and well before God. We must agree with Jesus in the words of the parable that our place before God is lying down right there on the road beside the half-dead Jew. Go ahead, lie down, bleed beside him. Feel his death in your own bones. Feel the anguish and terror of his heart. Feel his helplessness. And open your eyes and ears when your good Samaritan leans over you with deep and compassionate eyes and speaks his word to you. Find your restoration of life and health in the baptism he gently applies to your wounded and half-dead soul and body. See how, with the confession of your sins, he carefully cleanses and the filth and the infection and the pus out of your sin-inflicted wounds and bandages you up with his absolution. And the medicine he gives you, it is truly miraculous medicine. A medicine distilled in the crucible of his cross, filled with the active ingredient of his resurrection. He gives you his own body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Live, he bids you, live in the hospital inn, in his church of the pure word and sacraments, where you shall receive care and compassion, healing and life all the days of your life until he comes again. Go ahead, lie down on that road of life with the despicable, dying Jew and with all your other enemies and neighbors in this world. Only there will the Good Samaritan find you and heal you. Only there can you begin to love your neighbor as yourself. The parable was introduced with the lawyer's test. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him for his own interpretation. What is written in the law? How do you read it? The command to love your neighbor as yourself was only the second part of his answer. The first part was this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. We note that Jesus does not bother to illustrate this first table of the law, because it is obvious that if you cannot do the lesser thing, loving your neighbor whom you can see, you can certainly not do this greater thing, loving the Lord your God whom you cannot see. If we have broken the lesser commandment, we have also certainly broken the greater commandment. According to the lawyer's answer, we are doubly condemned. But Jesus, in speaking to us this parable, turns the greater commandment upside down to reveal his love and compassion to us. As we are the hateful, dying man on the side of life's perilous road, so Jesus is the Good Samaritan who has compassion on us and comes to us and heals us. Here you truly see God's heart for you. He has deep, passionate concern for you, even in your sin. He knows that you by nature despise him. He knows the evil that springs forth from your sinful heart. He knows the depth of your trouble, the conflict of your heart, your struggle against anger and hatred and sin. He knows the coldness of your heart and your lovelessness. He feels every moment of your self-obsessed, unpitying soul. And despite all that sin in you, indeed because of all that sin in you, he has committed his entire person to you. He loves you as himself. And the commandment is now upside down. Because he loves his Father from eternity, Christ also loves you with all his heart, and with all his soul and with all his strength and with all his mind. He loves you without any payment in return, without any compensation. He loves you by descending from the glories of heaven into the dirt and blood of our roadside half-dead lives. He loves you by falling among robbers and murderers and loveless outlaws, by being stripped and scourged and mocked and spit upon, by being abandoned by his own disciples, crucified and left to die on the cross. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from God's wrath through him. He loves you. You are truly blessed, my dear friends. For while these two commandments still stand, to love your God and to love your neighbor, you have a God who has compassion, love, and forgiveness for you in your sin against these commandments. Here also is where you may step back into your vocation as a neighbor to all those around you, a fellow sinner, a forgiven sinner, full of the compassion and love of God. For in Christ, the commandment is already fulfilled in the mercy and compassion of Christ for you. For he has found you on the roadside of life, treated and bound up your wounds, and provided for your care in his church until he comes again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.